when you're buying stuff now, do whatever you can to buy long-term fixed debt. I know there's going to be scenarios where you can't and you need to use maybe like a bridge loan or something more short-term, but try really hard to use long-term fixed debt.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. Welcome back to another Finance Fridays episode. And today we're going to be talking about inflation. I know I've brought this up in the past. I think it's really important as it continues to tick up. And we can all see it at the store, the gas pump, prices are going up. Everything's continues to rise. And for the most part, the supply chain issue has not been fixed. So let's just get into this one. But first, thanks as always for jumping on and listening. I appreciate each and every one of you. And as always, if you find any value in this episode and you feel anyone else could find value, please share it with them, friend, family, colleague, whoever. And if you haven't done so, please leave a rating and review. That's how we get in front of more ears and eyes. I would greatly appreciate that. So let's talk inflation. So I believe last time we talked, inflation was around 5-6% PPI. I think price producers index was around 8 or 9, I believe last time we talked, or 10. But if we look at it now, we have inflation at 7%. 7%, that's the highest it's ever been since, I believe, 1982. That's crazy. 7% inflation. And that's not even the legit inflation, if you want my honest truth. The way we calculate it, it's just not the correct way. Because I don't want to get really into the weeds, but it doesn't take certain factors into account and it overweights certain things it shouldn't. There's some argue that it's probably the true inflation is probably closer to like 12 to 15%. We can see that certain items that are up over 20, 30%, right? From pre-pandemic levels for even just 12 months ago, which is insane. And then, as I always say, I like to look at PPI, the producer's price index, because that's very indicative of where prices are going, because that's the price or the cost it costs the manufacturer to produce the item. And then we all know they're just going to pass it on to us, the consumer, right? They're not going to take a loss. They want to keep their profit margins healthy. So they produce on that extra cost. So right now, PPI in December was at 9.7%. 9.7%. And so CPI is at 7%, consumer price index, PPI is at 9.7. So there is still more room for the CPI to increase. And there's an argument out there, well, what's causing this? Some argue supply chain issues created by the pandemic, and others argue, no, it's the fact that we just keep pumping more cash into the system. And that's what's creating inflation. Because if you have classic supply and demand, if you have more money out there, the money that you have is going to be worth less because it's just devaluing it, right? You're going to have to use more dollars to buy the same item. First, this episode's not going to get into that debate, but personally, I feel it's a combination of both. Because anytime you pump cash into the market, of course, it's going to cause inflation. That's just natural, the whole supply and demand thing. And then two, supply chain issues created by COVID and the pandemic, that's something you can't look past. That's very evident. We see in everyday life, the fact that it takes months to get furniture, like 6 to 8 months to get furniture. It takes months to get cars, if you can even get a car. What's going on in the used car market and just what's going on in the ports in general and how stuffers are sitting on ships. You can't look past that. So I think it's a combination of both. But whatever you agree with or not agree with, at the end of the day, I think we can all agree on that inflation is here. And at the day, it hurts us, especially when income growth does not follow inflation. So what we're getting paid does not track with inflation. That puts a lot of pressure on people because there's still stuff they have to buy, food, water, pay for shelter, rent, all of that. And as that's going up and your income's not, it makes it tougher and tougher. It keeps pinching you and pinching you. So today I want to talk about, well, what can we do to kind of combat that inflation, right? Because until the whole supply chain thing is figured out, and until we stop pumping money into the markets, inflation is here. I don't see it going anywhere. Yes, it's probably going to level out at some point and maybe retract a little, but I don't see it going back to pre-pandemic or even just 12-month ago levels in the near term. I think it's here for a while until we figure those issues out. So what do we do? I've talked about this in the past. It's one of the main reasons I love cash flowing real estate. And like I've always said, that's one of the reasons I love cash flowing real estate. And don't just take my word for it. There's this report that comes out. It's actually a membership, a group called Tiger 21. And no, I'm not in this group. You have to have at least net investable assets of $10 million. So it's $10 to $1 billion of net investable assets. So these are ultra wealthy people. And every year they put out a report to their membership of where you should be investing, how you should be constructing your portfolio. And I was able to see the report. I guess it got leaked online. So I was able to see it. And their whole thing was to protect against inflation. That's how you need to set up your portfolio. And they go into different factors. They have crypto, tech stocks such as Tesla, and there's a few others. But the one that they led with was real estate. And they actually specifically mention apartment buildings. And the reason for this is what I'm about to go into. Because when you have a cash flowing asset, especially one like real estate, there are so many factors that benefit you in an inflationary period. And I've mentioned this before, again, on why I love multifamily real estate. And this was on episode 15. So if you want to go back and see that whole episode, you definitely can check that out, specifically talking about why I love it for an inflationary period. And the reason for that is there's three major factors. One is the asset appreciation or inflation itself. And we all know historically over time, real estate increases over time, right? And that's something I don't think many would argue against. Over time, yes, there might be some dips here and there, but over time, it increases. So let's take, for example, we have a $1 million property and say over a period of time, there's 10% inflation. Now it's worth $1.1 million, all right? And then you go to sell it. But then when you'd be like, yeah, Sean, but it's just the inflation kind of offsets it because now your money's less worth. So it's kind of net-net. No, because most people are buying with leverage. And that's why you should buy with leverage. So buying with leverage of that $1 million property, you're putting $200K down, right? Let's use whole numbers to make it easy. So now what is your equity growth? Your equity went from $200K to $300K because you gained that 0.1 million, that 100,000 from the inflation. Now, what's the increase of 200 to 300,000? That's a 50% gain. This is one of the main reasons people love real estate is because that is a protection against inflation, especially when you can use leverage. And now let's talk about the debt itself, because this is where it really, really gets powerful. And that's an inflation benefit we call debt debasement. And that's just a fancy term. It simply means, I'll explain it right here, is that you're buying debt at nominal dollars. You're buying debt today. So if you have a $1 million loan today, based off that $1 million today, not dollars in the future, dollars today. And this is why real estate experts, people who've been successful in real estate, always tell you when you can always buy long-term fixed debt, especially if it's at a very attractive interest rate like we're at now. So when you're buying stuff now, do whatever you can to buy long-term fixed debt. I know sometimes there's going to be scenarios where you can't and you need to use maybe like a bridge loan or something more short term, but try really hard to use long-term fixed debt. And this is why. If you have a $1 million loan, let's say, and you're in an inflationary period that's running at about 5% for a few years, kind of like where we are right now, this is something that we call a $50,000 tailwind. So let's look at it. So that $1 million loan is based in nominal dollars. Now, a year goes by, there's been 5% inflation, right? So now that loan, all else equal, we're not talking about payments being made, but 5% off of $1 million is $50K, right? So now in nominal dollars, right, it's worth $950K because of the inflation. Inflationary dollars, now $950K. Another year of 5% inflation goes by, now it's at $900,000. And then another year, and it's at $850,000. And you can just see it keeps going and going and going. That's a $50,000 tailwind because of inflation. You have that $50,000 tailwind because when you buy long-term fixed debt, you're paying in nominal dollars, not in inflation-adjusted dollars. So nothing changes on your debt, right? Yeah, inflation's going up. Things are cost more now. Your debt doesn't change. It still costs the same as it did on the day you signed on that loan. It's really powerful. And this is one of the main reasons people love real estate in general, but especially in an inflationary period. All right, the third reason why this is a great way to protect against inflation, and that's your cash flow enhancement. So historically, right, rent has increased with inflation. It kind of goes together, right? Sometimes even at higher rates, all depends on supply and demand. And right now we're in one of those periods where there's a deficit of 4 million units. So demand is a lot greater than supply. So that's what's really pushing the rent growth above inflation right now. But historically, it has increased with inflation. And just like anything else, when there is inflation, things, prices and costs go up. Just think about it. Taxes, property values, and maintenance costs usually always go up. There's never a period where they really go down, right? That's rare. So if those things are going up over the long term, then rent's going to go with it because landlords need to be able to cover all those expenses, right? They're not just going to lose money and let you live there. They need to at least break even. So rent's going to go up with that. So over time, rent goes up. I can't even really think of a period where rent's gone down. Like, yeah, we've had some insane growth in rent over the last year or so. It's going to cool down, yes, but I don't see it like retracting. All right. So here's the really powerful thing about cash flow enhancement, and is that your cash flow goes up faster than your rent growth. And why is that? Because your biggest expense, which is your mortgage payment, right? Your loan is fixed. Just like I explained previously that in the debt basement, is that you're paying in nominal dollars, not in an inflationary adjusted dollars. So when you have long-term fixed debt, that debt is staying fixed, but your rent, your top line, your revenue is going up, but that expense is staying fixed. So then that means your cash flow is going up even more, exponentially more than your top line, your revenue, your rent. This is what makes it so powerful to be in a cash flowing asset. And it doesn't have to be apartments, but I love apartments for many reasons. And when it comes to the rent portion of it is the shorter term of leases. Yeah, obviously not as short as short-term rentals, but compared to some office space, industrial, they're signing 5, 10, 15, you know, you even see places that do like those 90-year leases, right? So those are really long-term leases. And yeah, they'll have some inflation clauses in there or rent bumps in there. Like it's 2% every year or every like 2 or 5 years, it goes up X amount percent. But like that gets you fixed, where it isn't with apartments. You're only having usually on average 12-month leases, right? And a lot can happen in 12 months. But say you're fixed at a 2% rate on like an office space or industrial. If that was the case with apartments and I was stuck in something like that, well, last year we saw anywhere from like 10 to 18% in certain markets. Well, I can only charge 2 because I had that type of contract. No, I have 12 months. So then after that contract is up, I can bump it up to that 10, 18%. And that's why I love multifamily, especially for this reason, that cash flow enhancement is just so powerful because my debt remains fixed, but I can move my top line, which then ultimately just exponentially grows that bottom line. And as I've mentioned before, in commercial real estate, you're buying on the bottom line, the NOI, the net operating income. You're not buying on comps like in residential. You're buying on the bottom line because it's like its own business. Yeah, there's cap rates involved, but that's based on the NOI, right? So it's what an investor is willing to pay for that NOI. It's like, don't even think of the building, the property. Yeah, obviously that's important. You want to make sure it's a good structure and all that, but they're buying that net operating income. They're buying that cash flow, and that's what they're willing to pay for. So if you can exponentially increase that, because in an inflationary period, then even at the end of the day, that asset inflation is going to be even stronger because your NOI just skyrocketed and they're going to want to pay for that NOI. That's why this is so powerful. And that's why I urge everyone to have some exposure to real estate, if not a lot, like I do, especially in today's world. So yes, the title is kind of clickbaity, but yes, you should go into debt to protect yourself against inflation in 2022. But that's the smart debt, the debt that pays you. All right, I hope everyone got some value out of this one. As always, if you have any questions, you guys can find me anywhere. You find me on Instagram at Sean Owens. You can find me on LinkedIn, or head to the website and schedule a call as well. Thank you again for tuning in as always. And I will catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.